Our scripture comes this morning from Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. To the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, the first and the last, the one who was dead and came to life, says, I know your tribulation and poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The victor will never be harmed by the second death.
Every time we praise you,
I'd like to show some kind of a little slideshow here to start with of this next city that we're going to be looking at in the letters to the seven churches. The city is Smyrna in the New Testament. In modern day Turkey, the name of the town is actually, it's a big city. It's about the size of Chicago, about 3 million people. It's a very modern city, as you can see, and as you'll see in these pictures here, they're a very beautiful setting. There's a bay there near Ephesus, if you are familiar with that area of Asia Minor from your maps in the Bible, maybe. But it kind of encompasses, I think, about three of the three churches. The modern city of Izmir, Turkey. As you can see, there are beautiful buildings there. The streets are laid out in right angles. It's a very cosmopolitan city. It was begun as a Greek colony, and Just a very liberal modern city, liberal in a good sense, I believe, free. As you can see the skyline there, just a very beautiful city. And the reason why I wanted to show these pictures to you is I think it helps to kind of understand better what Jesus is saying here about, or saying to the the church in the city of Smyrna. Now, this is the airport at night, an international airport there. Well, I want us to look again at the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and verses 8 through 11. If you have a Bible there and would like to open your Bibles to that passage, I think it would help you to kind of follow along. And I'm not going to, we didn't read, I think, every word there. So you might want to refer to that as we go along. But the subject is Night is Coming. I think that could be a title for the book of Revelation. The night referring to the period that the Bible describes as the tribulation period or the great tribulation is a time when God's wrath is going to be poured out on this earth. And it's going to be a time of judgment. It's going to be a time when people will not have... They'll have an opportunity to be saved, but it'll be much harder. It's not a time that you want to be here. So I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, to trust Him today. Because you can think that you might have a second chance. And if you've seen some of the movies, I think Left Behind movies, there seems to be that hope that you might have a second chance. But I think if you have rejected Christ, if you have had an opportunity to receive Him and you've not received Him in this age of grace, then it's going to be so much harder. And I just want to encourage you to know Jesus as your Savior. The church of Smyrna is the most Christ-like and perfect of the seven churches. Now, I think it's interesting that this city is the only one of the seven that is still in existence. Izmir is really, the Turkish name of Smyrna. We can hear it in there. It's derived from the same name. Smyrna means myrrh, and I think it speaks of the suffering of Christians in that city, and we'll speak of that in a moment. But it's the most Christ-like and perfect of the seven churches, the only one of the seven that Jesus did not have anything to say in rebuke toward them. What lessons can we learn from this church which Jesus commended? Well, first of all, I believe that here is an encouragement in these words of Jesus to the church of Smyrna. When we are suffering, we need encouragement. And I think of what the Bible in other places says about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. It says that God comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. What that's saying is that God sometimes allows trials and tribulations in our life in order that we might be of comfort to others who are going through similar trials. Well, I think this was true of that church of Smyrna. It may well be that is why God has kind of put this object lesson before us in modern-day Izmir, Turkey, to show us that here's a church that He commended. And there's still a church there in that Turkish city. Again, it's a very liberal city. It's not like you might imagine a city in a Muslim area would be. So here is an encouragement. And in that encouragement, I hear a person. I hear it in the words of Jesus here when He says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, and yet you are rich. Now, in that city, there were many Jewish synagogues. There are nine still today in that city. So there was a large Jewish community there at the time of the New Testament, as there is still today. But there were tremendous persecutions there, as you, I'm sure, know about that period of time. He says, I know the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. That whole area was called the Highway of the Martyrs, because they would march them through that area on their way to Rome. And they would take ship, of course, but they would put them on ships to Rome where they were destined for the Colosseum. So here is the encourager. The Lord Jesus is the one speaking here. I know. And we spoke of that last week about how He knows the trials that we face. Now, others may not know. Others may be seemingly very calloused about what the trials that we are facing, but Jesus knows. And I just want to encourage each of us this morning. And those of you especially that are going through some periods of trials and tribulations, and I'm not just talking about the price of gas being, what is it, $5 now? Two or three years ago, I made a little spot announcement on the radio about the price of gas, and I think it was about $2.50 at that time. And I thought, well, this will soon become out of date. I think they ran it a couple of years, and I don't know whether they're still running it, but it's still very apropos, isn't it? The price of gas is getting us down. Well, there are some things, of course, much more serious, as serious as that is. But I'm talking about personal trials and tribulations. I'm talking about being a Christian, and especially in paying the price for that. God has called us to be like Him. We are to be like Jesus. And that will inevitably require a cost. Because did not Jesus say, if anyone will follow after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me? So here is a person of encouragement. And there's also a perception of encouragement here. In these words, he says, I know your tribulation and poverty, yet you are rich. He sees. He knows. I know the slander of those who say they're Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Now, we may think that he's not really, you know, he has more important things to do than to tend to our little problems, although they're not little to us. Well, he does. He knows. And this was not, Smyrna was not one of the great cities. I mean, it wasn't like Ephesus. Ephesus was really like the capital of that region of the world. Smyrna was of lesser importance. They may well have thought, well, you know, God certainly has more important things to do. But no, he doesn't. He cares. He sees. He says, I know the tribulation and poverty, yet you are rich. Now, that's an important thought right there. And we may think that, you know, we're poor, that we don't have much of this world's goods. But if we know Jesus, we are children of the King. We're rich beyond measure. We have an inheritance laid up in heaven, the Bible says, that can never be taken away by the things of this world or the trials and tribulations of this world. So there's a person here. There's a perception. There's a prescription. And that prescription, I believe, is that we might just take these words to heart and know that Jesus cares for us. Now, I think sometimes we need to do a little preaching to ourselves when we're down, and just go back to the Word of God. Jesus says He knows. Do we believe that? It'll transform our lives if we do. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Maybe we don't feel that. Maybe we don't feel His presence or certainly see Him there. But He's there in our trials and problems. So here is an encouragement, an encouraging church, if you will. And there are churches, of course, that are suffering in the world today. Many persecuted churches. Did you know that there are more Christians dying for their faith today than ever before? Some believe more than all generations combined. So here's a church. We spoke of how maybe these churches represent a historical progression toward the second coming of Jesus, and represent periods of time. I think that's very possible. I mean, after all, this is a prophetic book. It shouldn't surprise us that these churches may have prophetic implications. But I think that they're also representative of churches, perhaps in the last days. I think it can have more than one application. The Word of God can. And certainly we see it in our world today, the suffering church. And it may come to America. Maybe that's what we need. We might not want it. I don't know that we ever want trials and problems. But again, Jesus said that we are to take up our crosses daily and follow Him. And that's going to follow. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, He said. So here's an encouragement. And also in this letter there is an enablement. If we could look at that next verse there. He said, don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer, Jesus said. You will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful. Be faithful. And I will give you the crown of life. Now the Bible says that there is no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. And that word temptation is really a word that means it's more than just we think of when we think of temptation. It's really trials, testings. He said, the Bible says, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And when you think of that in the with the understanding that these are more than just temptations, although temptations certainly would be included, but trials and difficulties of various kinds. He says they're common. Now that may not be much of a comfort to us when we're going through those trials and problems. But I, you know, speaking from personal experience, I do know that that helps me to know that there are others sharing my trials. And more than that, it says God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. In other words, He will not put upon us more than we can bear. Now, I think there were those apparently in Smyrna who maybe they were tempted to think that this was just too much. It was too high a price to be a Christian in that culture. Now, this was a very pagan culture, as you know. If you've studied anything about that region of the world in that period of time, this was a basically a Greek culture, and it was very pagan. This was before Christianity, of course, came. And not only that, but there were Jews there that were very, very opinionated against this new sect as they regarded Christianity. And so there were fears, there was fearfulness. He spoke to that when he said, don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I haven't counted how many times Jesus said to fear not. But I remember after his resurrection, he said to his disciples, fear not. I am risen. And I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Fear can be, I suppose, a great motivator in some ways. But it can be a great slave driver, bringing us into servitude. God does not want us to be fearful. We live in pretty fearful times, don't we? What's happening in... I was reading some of the news from around the world in Asia. I was reading about how a dozen countries are nuclear now. They have nuclear capability, a capability to produce nuclear weapons. And we don't even know how many. Now, there was just this recent, highly publicized destruction of a cooling tower in North Korea that was believed to have been part of their efforts to build a nuclear bomb. But it just seems to me like this is going to proliferate. I don't know that we can stop it. I think the genie is out of the bottle. I think the man who discovered the atomic bomb, can't remember his name, but he said the genie is out of the bottle as he saw that mushroom cloud arise. We live in a time of fearfulness, but Jesus wants to enable us to overcome. He's the captain of our salvation. And He's with us always, He said, to the end, even to the ends of the earth. There's a faithfulness in that enablement. Jesus said there would be tribulation 10 days. Now, most believe that means that there'll be an end to it. That, you know, that's, I think, true no matter what other interpretations you have. But there were 10 emperors, Roman emperors, that were 10 persecutions, periods of persecutions of Christians. And many believe that that's what Jesus was speaking of. But I think certainly what Jesus is saying is that there's going to be an end to it. And we just need to be encouraged to be faithful, as He said to the church of Smyrna. Be faithful, He said, and I will give you the crown of life, Jesus said. And so there's faithfulness here in this enablement. There's fruitfulness as well. Fruitfulness in that here was the only church, you know, I suppose we could say has continued down to the present day. And certainly that city has, I think, is an object lesson of what Jesus is saying here. If we will just be faithful, then He will give the increase. And so there's fruitfulness here in this enablement, fearfulness, faithfulness, and fruitfulness. Also in this passage, in this letter, this short letter, I think it's probably the shortest of the seven letters, is an enthronement. I just want to refer again to that city of Smyrna, Izmir, and the beauty of that. I was reading about all of the famous people that came from Izmir. Homer, the famous Greek poet, came from Smyrna. Let's see, who else? Aristotle Onassis was a native of Smyrna. Irenaeus. And there are a list of people that I didn't even recognize some of the names, but I know it's been a very important city throughout history. And I think that God does things to kind of give us an object lesson of His blessing. I think it's there because of that God wants that to be an object lesson for us. What He will do to those, for those that are faithful. And I think it says something about the church that Christ finds beautiful and appealing. Now, this was not the largest and the most famous of churches, but Jesus promised to them, first of all, there's a church there. There was a church founded there that continued. Of all of the seven, this was the one that continued because they were faithful. They took Jesus' words seriously. They suffered willingly. They took up their crosses and they were willingly marched along that way of the martyrs. And so there is a church there in that enthronement. There's a cross. I just want to encourage us to be like them, to take up our crosses and follow Jesus. Now, I don't know what that's going to mean for each of us. I think it's just something that we have to do individually. Certainly, we can do it as a church. But a church is really made up of individuals. And we just need to say to Jesus, I believe, Jesus, come and dwell with me, and I want to dwell with you. Walk with me. Help me to take up my cross and follow you. Whatever that is. And I don't have the answer to sickness and other kinds of problems that some of you are faced with that I, you know, frankly, you know, what each of us can't totally identify with one another because there are different kinds of trials that we each face. But Jesus knows. He says, I know. And He will help you to follow Him if you will just say to Him, Lord, walk with me. Help me to take up my cross daily and follow you. And to continue to give a Christ-like witness for you as this church did. Again, this was the most Christ-like of the seven churches. The most perfect. Now, I don't know. There's no church, of course, that's perfect. But if we are followers of Jesus and we are faithful in taking up our crosses as they were, He will give a crown to us, the crown of life, He said. So there's a church here. There's a cross in that enthronement. There's a crown. He said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The victor will never be harmed by the second death. I want to encourage us just to be in prayer as we reach these very difficult times that we're in. We've never been quite this in the, you know, this situation before. I don't know that that's ever been true in history. But one thing I do know is that Jesus is coming soon. And He is preparing His church to be His bride, to meet Him when He comes in the air. And I just want to encourage you to be a part of His church, to know Him as your Savior, to love Him, to listen to His words. As He said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life.